Al, I know you you deep dive in on every lineup change possible. So Slater Cuoco is now in. What are the odds? What have you calculated of him being in the lineup in Game 1 or Caleb Jones or potentially Chris Russell? Which one of the three will be the third-pairing left defenseman next Wednesday night?
Well, if they're all able to play, I think Russell might be your guy. Jones offers, you know, he's very mobile. I really like his passing. It's not consistent, but he can make a brilliant pass. The worry I have a little bit about Jones is that he's been young defenseman confidence is such a big deal, and he seems a little in between right now. Not that he's, you know, taking that giant step backwards, but in the playoffs you want, I think, consistency. I think Russell would offer that. Cuoco hasn't played enough. I don't think you can really count on him. So I would say Russell, Jones, then Cuoco would be my order.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting mix. My eyebrows kind of raised. I'm like, geez, this guy's, he's going to play Slater Cuoco tonight. But, you know, it seems like they like this guy. You know, you think about the way he was played prior to the injury. He was getting a lot of ice time, and, you know, even sometimes where maybe he wasn't killing it. Is it, you know, depending on how the game goes tonight, could that change their opinion and therefore your opinion of what their opinion is?
Is the game tonight, Jason?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. Right. It just texted me to change. I mean tomorrow. Sorry.
Maybe they were at your outdoor rink. I know you and Pisani have the same deal, so maybe they're out there playing in your backyard. Yeah. Maybe, but you could address that more than I can. The guy would have played one game in a long time. He'd have to be brilliant, right? Like, Cuoco was great in the bubble, so we know he can play. How many games do you have to play before you prove to your coach that you're up to 100%? I don't have that answer.
Yeah, you know, like, they'd be doing, like, a ton of battle drills, right? Like, I remember coming back from injuries, and you'd be battling in the corner. They'd find the biggest guy on the other side, like let's use Cassian, although, you know, he's injured, or James Neal or Chase on, battling in the corner, like, just to try to get that physicality back, right? So I think the timing is bigger issue than maybe the physicality of the playoffs. They have to make sure that he feels good because, you know, you got to be physical in the playoffs. But it's interesting. I think to just get another healthy body back, it's always good in the playoffs, especially they want to go deep. I want to shift gears a little bit to, I saw a post you put up today talking about this rumored idea of Larson, you know, perhaps getting a 4-year extension underneath $4 million. This seems to, you know, put the nail in the coffin of Barry coming back. But B, is that a strong right side if you think it's going to be Bear, Larson, Bouchard for next year?
I like it. I think Bear and Nurse have shown that they can play together well. I obviously, you're giving up some great, you know, puck moving on from Tyson Barry, but Bear can pass the puck well. Nurse can transport it. Larson, I think it's just my opinion, and I do prefer that player type, but I really think they need his rugged play and his shutdown defense. Nobody on that right side is comparable to Larson. He's very unique. Bouchard somewhat duplicates Tyson Barry, although not to the same level, and you would be giving up experience and dynamic skating in Barry. But I think Larson just makes it a stronger, tougher, more difficult, nasty piece of business on that right side. Bear, I think, can handle the minutes with Nurse. Maybe Larson checks down with Klefbom or becomes the number one pairing again. And then Bouchard, you can slide in with one of your Russell, Cuoco, or Caleb Jones.
Yeah, it's interesting, guys. You know, a lot of people are like, well, wow, you get Larson for 3.75. Like, I've been saying this all year long. A flat cap, a defensive defenseman. I didn't think he was going to get a massive raise. You know, like, good for Chris Tanev, what he got. But look at what Travis Hamonic got. Look, I thought Larson was going to come in under $4 million, and I still believe that. You know, term 4 years, like, Larson's having a great season. My only concern with him is just, you know, his back has been an issue in the past. Maybe it won't be. Maybe he's got some special yoga meister going on right now. He definitely offers a different element that they need. There's no question. There's no question about it. My concern is this. To play in the top pair, to me, you have to be elite at something if you're a top pair defenseman. Tyson Barry's elite offensively. People can complain about second assists all they want, then they're just embarrassing themselves, because Tyson Barry, over 8 years, has the seventh most points amongst defensemen. He's elite. It wasn't just because of McDavid and Draisaitl. That's helped him a few gravy points this year. Sure, hasn't helped him his entire career. The Oilers don't have anyone who is elite at anything, who can be their first pair right defenseman next year. So they're going to have to ensure, if they don't bring Barry back, and I don't think they will, that that money is spent on guys who are going to be difference makers, because there's going to be a downgrade at your number one right defense position to start next season. Ethan Bear is not elite in my mind in any category. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's just not elite anywhere. And to me, that's a step down. So you better step up in other areas to make your team better.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I see at least like Nuge and another left winger coming in. The two players I'm most interested in, McLeod, I don't know that he's a number three center, but if he is, that really helps your cap and what you're shopping for in the summer. If you're going to bring Tyson Barry back, you'd have to be able to trade, I think, Ethan Bear for something of great value. And I just don't think he's at a point in his career where he would bring back what maybe the same worth that he is worth to the Oilers. You know what I mean? I don't think he has that cachet or that reputation yet. So, and he's also making $2 million, and he's, you know, going to be around for a while. So I think eventually the Oilers are going to have a gigantic defense. And at that point, like guys like Russell and Bear may not fit the mode of the team, but I think we're a couple of years away from that.
Taking a look at the M-Tolers with Alan Mitchell from the Lowdown Flow Tide. You can check in with him every day here on the station from 10 till 12. Looking ahead to, I'm assuming everyone's going to make it through the game tomorrow. It's going to look like a men's league game at Argyle at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. There's going to be no intensity at all, I think, from both sides.
I love those games, Strutty. I love you. You go right from there at Argyle right into Thunderdome. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, the beer was a little bit colder after those games, that's for sure. But, you know, you're gearing up for this playoff round, and it just seems clear to me the Winnipeg Jets, either way, have to shut down Connor McDavid. Like that, you know, you can talk about getting to Mike Smith or softening up the D, but if you can't shut down Connor McDavid, it seems like this is going to be a tough series. So do you think they have a guy or a line in mind or a defensive pairing or a magical trick of a box full of tricks to shut down the great 97?
I think there's something off in Winnipeg, and I'm not talking coach. I'm just talking like personnel wise. Charlie Huddy's a really smart guy. Their defense just has not been what it needs to be, and they didn't add at the deadline, which is very peculiar. Now they've had injuries. Ehlers will make a difference. I don't know if Lowry's back. I think he would. He's a tougher matchup for McDavid than the Scheifele line, but. For Paul Maurice, he doesn't have a lot. Like, I don't think you said magic bag or whatever. I don't think he has a lot. I mean, the McDavid has been running roughshod over that team all year, and they've tried everything. And they don't have Dustin Byfuglien. Remember, Dustin Byfuglien, he wouldn't even see the guy. Just turn, and the guy's career would be over. He was just a menace out there. But so you had to be careful, because Winnipeg had guys who could really, like, impact you in a negative way physically. They don't have that now. They have, you know, they're like, I don't, I say this now, maybe 2 weeks from now I'll regret saying it, but I don't think they're that impressive.
What about a hard match, like I'm talking what are those things you used to call back a long time, a shadow? Do you put a guy on there, say you're gonna follow this guy around all the time, Mark Scheifele?
Who's Strutty? Who are you gonna put as the shadow?
As someone who can skate, I put Scheifele on him. Anybody, like, just say, this is your guy. Anytime he comes on the ice, you're going against him. And, you know, because if Connor McDavid, Greg, you just said it, it's almost like the Oilers start 1-0 every game, especially against Winnipeg with Connor McDavid. So if you can't slow him down, you know, I just don't see him having a chance of scoring or winning.
Well, but I would think that if they felt they had that, they would have tried it before now. Like, if you can, like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the Lowry line did a little better than the Scheifele line. So maybe you have a designated checking line. Maybe that's how you do it. But from the point of view of power v power, which is often the case for McDavid, I don't have the numbers there either, but I know they're not great. Scheifele, his line has gotten killed by the McDavid line. Just yes. Killed. And so, and then you say, okay, well, let's put our best defensive group, our most physical, well, who's the most physical defensive guy who can keep up with McDavid on the Winnipeg Jets? It's not Pionk. It's not Morrissey.
Well, that's the problem. They really don't have it. You can't be physical on Connor McDavid. Like, no, who's gonna hit that guy? That's fast enough. Like, the guy they need is Darnell Nurse. Luckily for the Oilers, he's on their team, right? Because I think he can skate. I'm not saying he can keep up with Connor, but he can maybe keep up closer than what they have there in Winnipeg. So, you know, you're trying to, like, if Connor McDavid in five games has, let's call it 9 points, do you think the Oilers are up in the series or down? Like,
well,
it's going to be a big problem.
I think the only chance they have, I don't think that Winnipeg will win this series, but I think they will win at least a couple of games, and it'll be because of their goaltending. I think Hellebuck will have strong nights against Edmonton and stop a lot of shots. But as far as getting the chances, and the thing about McDavid is that he just kind of, like, it comes in waves. And the other thing is that you know, there will be penalties taken too, and the Oilers are, like, the problem even talking about anybody beating the Oilers right now, and includes any team, is that, you know, we can all agree that the Oilers don't have the depth that they'll need to win a Stanley Cup and all that, but McDavid is capable of more than anybody, of just owning the game. Just saying, okay, I've decided I'm going to score 4 points, and goes and does it. That could happen too. So, like, if you're Winnipeg, I think maybe what you try to do is get out, like, come out quickly in game one, try to get a lead, win one of the first two games, and maybe start to, because it's still a young team in it, and maybe trying to get a little bit of doubt in the mind of the Oilers. But right now, they look, you can tell, did you see when the Cahoon scored the goal, they all off the bench, they are having a great time right now, and I don't know how Winnipeg stops that.
Well, the one thing you guys haven't mentioned is the reason why something's off in Winnipeg, Al, is the fact that there's no airport. And I think that in a condensed season this year, that has really impacted Winnipeg. It hasn't been talked about enough, but I think that is a major, major factor in the recent struggles.
Great point.
Of the Winnipeg Jets. It doesn't get talked about enough. But it's a legit concern, You can only, you know, eventually that just the car ride to Fargo just becomes too much. So,
well, and then sometimes they have to start at Bismarck because it's busy in Fargo.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
So, you know,
it's brutal. So
crazy stuff.
Al, quickly, what is your upset special? If you're picking one team to upset in the first round of the playoffs, who is it?
Florida, I think. Yeah, Florida.
Okay. Florida. All right.
Going out on a limb, eh?
Well, they're gorgeous uniforms, and that's one of the towns Strutty didn't play, so I have always liked it. You know.
Strutty, what's your upset?
Well, do you want me to share it right now?
Yes. That's why I asked the question.
I think Montreal has a chance. I'm talking upset here. Like, this
guy,
why did you
thought the Habs were going to finish first in the North this year. Now we're tied with Toronto.
We were doing so
pick
well.
Coin toss. He's like, hey, what do you think, heads or tails? Well, let me tell you. I'll pick one or the other. That's what you just did in Florida, man. I don't get it. You two, Gregor, who's yours? Let me guess.
Nashville.
Oilers?
Nashville.
Okay, now you just got ridiculous.
Do you know that Nashville in the second half of the season, 20 wins, 7 losses, 1 tie. Best record in the Central Division. And their goalie has a .940 save percentage.
I love that. That's a little goalie I liked, and you gave me hell for liking that little guy. He's
5'11". Yeah, well, hey, we'll see how long it lasts, Freddy.
This is your team. You just said no, and you're telling me.
Hey, picking an upset doesn't mean they're my team, Struds. That's like saying, hey, guess what, guys? I picked the Giants to cover the spread. That doesn't mean I like them.
Why do you always have to bring that up? But look at Ryan Johansson and Matthew Shane. You think those guys can compete against that team?
I don't know, buddy. You know what? Honestly, Nashville, if they can win by carrying those two anvils around, it makes it even more impressive, because that's embarrassing what those two are doing.
This is an example of what happens. You know, Gregor brings the facts and the information, and Shreddy's talking about his trick knee telling him Montreal's going to win. That's the segment.
What is with you two guys
today?
It's
the booga booga and what I read in the Bible as a kid. That's the Shreddy way. Meanwhile, Jason's over there with the facts and the science.
Carolina just got called up from the AHL, guys. This is a good team in Carolina.
Well, that's why it's an upset.
That's not an upset. That's a massive long shot. The low tide gives one that's not even going to be an upset. You're going so far off. I give something reasonable, and I'm the one that gets criticized.
How is Montreal reasonable? They've been murdered at 5-on-5, which was supposedly their forte for the last 2 months.
I think they're going to ground and pound. I think this is a long series, guys. Long series.
Okay. Well, you know what? I love it. We're going to have a little fun wager for that one. Long series.
Wow. Don't bet too much, Strutty.
Jeez. Well,
what lasts longer, Al? Strutty or his chain? That's what we'll find out.
Oh, God. Get out of here, low tide.
LT, we'll talk to you Monday. Have a good one.
Have a great weekend, guys.